Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega.
New York has been through hell, but the finish line is in sight.
New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo has arguably been one of the most visible politicians during the pandemic. The national media praised his measured tone during his daily press briefings back in the spring, when New York City was the epicenter of the virus. And New Yorkers agreed. Polling in July showed that 72% of them approved of how the governor had responded to the crisis. For many, Cuomo's apparent reliance on evidence and facts to guide his decisions was a relief from President Trump's daily lies and misinformation about the virus. Here's Governor Cuomo talking to NBC News back in March.
I don't operate on what I hope or what I would like to see or what my expectation is. I operate on the data and on the numbers and on the science.
Recent reporting from the New York Times, however, shows some cracks in that picture. According to the Times, since the summer, 9 senior New York State Health Department officials have left their positions for being, quote, sidelined and disrespected by Governor Cuomo. By not listening to their advice, some believe the governor has potentially hindered the state's ability to stop the spread of the virus and successfully roll out the vaccine. Here's what Governor Cuomo had to say during a recent press briefing.
When I say experts, in air quotes, it sounds like I'm saying I don't really trust the experts, because I don't.
Jesse McKinley is the Albany Bureau Chief for the New York Times. Jesse, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
So what happened? I mean, why is Governor Cuomo shifting from someone who said he trusted the experts to someone who says he doesn't?
Well, I think that was a pretty shocking remark. I think a lot of jaws dropped, not only in the room, but probably people listening nationwide and across the state. The point I think the governor was trying to make, although he might have been ham-handed about it, was that he did not trust, you know, federal experts and people who had given him bad advice in the past. Now, keep in mind, this has been a steady refrain of the governor, that he feels like the feds let him down, that the virus was coming when they didn't expect it. But the thing that underscores this was our reporting in the paper on Monday, which basically showed that a lot of these so-called experts that he has disdain for are in fact leaving his Department of Health and leaving that department a little bit in the lurch at a time in which the pandemic is still raging here in New York.
You found, in fact, in your reporting that 9 senior New York State Health Department officials have left the department since the summer. Is this tension that you're describing between Governor Cuomo and the essentially state public health officials really what drove that?
I think it's an undercurrent to almost all of those 9 leaving. You know, keep in mind that Governor Cuomo, long before he became kind of the pandemic slayer that he was known last spring and summer, was known for a very heavy-handed approach to state government, and that included the state agencies like the Department of Health that are under his you know, leadership. So he's always been known as a tough boss. But I think the intensity of the pandemic, I think that the fact that he and a very small coterie of aides were dictating policy, often without the Department of Health knowing what was coming, led to enormous tension and also dispirited people in the Department of Health. You know, some of the sources we spoke to spoke of all-time low morale inside of the Department of Health, and made the point that oftentimes in situations like this, where you're facing a huge crisis, people rise to the challenge and they feel like their expertise and their skill sets are valued. And in many cases, the governor made these people feel like they were not valued and kind of dunderheads, you know, at a time in which he alone knew the best way forward.
I want to get into the governor's decision to work with private hospitals in just a moment. But before that, has the departure of these 9 public health officials had any effect on the actual rollout of the vaccine distribution or, you know, efforts to control the spread of the virus?
It's difficult to say at this point, but what is incontrovertible is that the governor instituted a different plan than the one that was on the books. Now, keep in mind the Department of Health, as well as local departments of health, do max vaccinations. They have done these. They have plans on the books. In 2009, they handled H1N1. There have been past outbreaks. There have been certainly public health vaccinations for everything from measles to other childhood illnesses. Like, this is something that local health departments know how to do and that they have plans to do. And in the case of this pandemic, the governor decided that they would do a different plan, often without informing the local health departments or even his own State Department of Health, that he had a different idea how to do this. And that leads to what you were talking about in using, you know, large hospital systems as kind of the primary, you know, point of contact for vaccinations rather than leaving it up to local health departments or other authorities.
Jesse, you're in Albany, I'm in New York City, and I'm sure I'm not saying something here that doesn't bear, you know, that isn't true when I say that the vaccine rollout, at least in New York City, has been a mess. Part of your reporting suggests that it's because Governor Cuomo decided to put the rollout in the hands of private hospitals instead of in the hands of public health entities. What can you tell us about his decision there?
His justification was threefold, basically. One, he said, look, if you're gonna vaccinate medical workers, the frontline medical workers, who everyone sort of agreed from the feds on down to the state needed to be vaccinated first, where do medical workers work? They work in hospitals. Ipso facto, you should send the vaccines to the hospital chains and they'll inoculate their employees. They also said that in terms of the Pfizer vaccine, which needed this extremely cold storage, the hospitals were more likely to have that. And also, I think there's kind of a larger issue here that Governor Cuomo felt that they could operate regionally rather than being hamstrung by, you know, local jurisdictional lines, whether it be county lines or city lines or things like that, all of which may be justifiable. But as you pointed out, the actual rollout was balky, to say the least, and in some cases, incredibly frustrating for residents who are trying to get shots.
Let's talk about whether or not Governor Cuomo had any political or financial ties to the hospitals and the hospital lobbyists that he worked with, that was revelatory in your reporting here, to achieve his new distribution plan.
Well, you know, money and politics are a common refrain at every level of government. The governor has said repeatedly that money has nothing to do with his decisions, and that may well be true. But in this case, one of the groups that was charged with vaccination was the Greater New York Hospital Association, which is a major donor of the governor, both in the past campaigns and during his 10 plus years as governor of the state of New York. So there are obviously ties between lobbying groups and the governor that are involved in the vaccination efforts. Also, one of the things our reporting uncovered was that lobbyists have been involved since the almost very beginning in formulating policy, running data, at some point advising the governor on courses of action. Inside of the state health department, in fact, we discovered that there was a lobbyist who had been given an office and a desk and was, you know, contributing to the, formulation of state policy right alongside state health employees.
I think, Jesse, what's frustrating about this is that as people, including myself, are trying to get vaccine appointments for our elderly and older relatives and friends, it's just been a frenzy to try and do that. And things are still not exactly where they need to be right now. To think that the governor may have made this decision not because of efficiencies or because it would have worked better for New Yorkers, but because of some perceived political gain?
Well, I'm not so sure about that thesis, but I do think the frustration is real. You know, and in the governor's defense, and to many states' defense, part of this stems from just not enough vaccine to go around. You know, keep in mind that the state of New York is a state of 20 million people, and at last count, I think they're getting about 300,000 doses a week. Now, anyone can do that math. That is going to take a long time to inoculate that entire population, and then multiply that by even bigger states like California and Texas and Florida, all of which are clamoring for vaccine as well. And also the regulations that have been, or at least the guidelines that have been set down by the federal government, you know, have very strict, you know, category 1A, category 1B, category 1C that governments are trying to follow. Now, having said all that, one thing that Governor Cuomo did was basically threaten, providers, healthcare providers, that if they, gave the wrong vaccine to the wrong people at the wrong time, they could, face censure, legal censure, as well as fines. And I think our reporting and other publications reporting found that that sort of heavy-handed approach, threatening fines, may have had something to do with the slow rollout as well. That healthcare providers were scared of getting in trouble or scared of getting fined, and thus slowed down their inoculations to the point where you saw the sort of frustration you're talking about.
Well, we know that Governor Cuomo is not one to back down from a confrontation. In fact, he directly responded to your report in the New York Times by saying, quote, "If Times reporters think I push hospitals too hard and local governments too hard, I say I'm a fighter for the people of New York and I believe I'm saving lives." That's a powerful statement. Jesse, what do you make of that response from Governor Cuomo?
Well, I've covered the governor now for 7, 8, 9 years. I've lost track, but he is nothing if not confident in his own abilities and his worldview. So he definitely thinks that he's doing the right thing. He definitely feels that that coming up with his own plans is the better way of doing it. You know, and his comments about healthcare, people inside of his own state health apparatus have not been necessarily flattering. You know, a couple of weeks ago, even before our story published, he was basically saying that they were academics who didn't know how to get things done. Since our story has published, he said, basically some people just aren't up to the job. So this is not a politician or a leader who feels that, he's got anything wrong. He would point to the fact that the state, the vaccination program has increased in speed in recent weeks. But then by the same token, he has had troubles with keeping data straight. He's had troubles with releasing data, as indicated last week by a very damning report from the state attorney general, a fellow Democrat, Tish James, who said that his health department was undercounting the number of people who had died in nursing homes. And so there are critics beginning to speak up and questioning whether or not his kind of self-confidence is actually earned or is just bluster.
Well, we can only hope that the vaccination rollout just gets better for all New Yorkers and folks across the country. Jesse McKinley is the Albany bureau chief for the New York Times. Jesse, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you've been talking to us about this in your own states, and you sent us some voice memos about how you thought your governor is handling COVID. Most of you, pretty happy.
Hi, this is Bobby from Cleveland, Ohio. I'm very happy with the way my governor, Mike DeWine, has handled the pandemic. He gives daily briefings, which include COVID updates. He even delayed the presidential primary election because he cares about Ohio lives. If he runs again, I'll vote for him, and that will be the first time I've ever voted for a Republican.
Hi, my name is Oren, and I live in Colorado. I think our governor, Jared Polis, has done a really good job and has shown really exemplary leadership. From the beginning of the pandemic, he has held regular and very informative news conferences. He always wears a mask when you see him in public. I think he's found a good balance between lockdowns and helping businesses stay afloat.
Hello, my name is Gary, and I'd like to say that Gavin Newsom has done a pretty good job in dealing with the COVID crisis, in that he hasn't received much federal assistance from the past administration. Hopefully he'll receive all that is needed and all of them get on the same page to work together in unison, federal, states, counties, cities, and things will be better in the future.
Hi, I'm Kerry from Sandy, Oregon, and my governor, Kate Brown, has rocked it during the COVID pandemic. She's followed the advice of scientists closely and made tough interpretations on her own. It hasn't been easy. The advice has changed as we've learned more about how to beat this virus. Communicating the changes is hard, but she's handled it well. Most recently, she's taken flack from many over the prioritization of teachers over the elderly in the vaccine rollout, and that's just a brutal call to have to make. I wouldn't trade her for anyone right now.
I live in California, so my governor is Gavin Newsom. I think he has done a magnificent job considering what a populous state we are and how hard the COVID-19 has hit the state. He locked us down early and I think prevented a lot of deaths that could have occurred.
Some of you are mixed.
My name is Greg Keenan. I run a restaurant in Pennsylvania. I feel Governor Wolf has made the hard decisions. He shut down parts of our economy to control the spread of COVID-19. He's been clear about masks and our part in keeping each other safe. Given that applause, my beefs are twofold. When he shuts down restaurants, he should enforce it. Secondly, there desperately needs to be a statewide database for residents to register with for the vaccine. This doesn't exist, and it's easily created.
And a few others not so pleased.
I'm Liz in Dallas. Touting low taxes and light regulations, Governor Greg Abbott disregards the health needs of the most vulnerable. How else can you provide health care if low taxes is your platform? There's no unified response to this pandemic, and he's putting citizens, students, teachers, staff, all of us in harm's way.
My name is Eric. I live in Queens, New York, and I used to approve of Governor Cuomo's handling of the pandemic, but I recently have changed my opinion. This is mostly due to a graph that the New York Times put out showing that Andrew Cuomo banned indoor dining when the infection rate per every 100,000 people was at 40.2 people, and then he reopened indoor dining and it's 66.1, so that's a 26 person jump, and now we're opening indoor dining. I just don't get it.
Send us your take at takeawaycallers@gmail.com. Just record a voice memo and email it to us, or give us a call the old-fashioned way at 877-8-MY-TAKE. That's 877-869-8253.